verse 19, it says, and I will give unto thee the keys, plural, plural, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's up to you, my brother and sister. It's not up to somebody else. It's up to you. It's up to you.
Glory to God forevermore.
I watched the red lamp burn at night, still hoping for a holy sight. This quiet chapel feels alive, but I am struggling to survive. There's mercy I'm not ready for, but still I kneel upon this floor. Your spirit lingers in the air, like incense rising in a prayer. Do you hear me, Lord? When the silence starts to burn, can I feel you near? When my thoughts begin to turn, I've been waiting, barely breathing, in the grace you used to feel. If you know me like I know you, then I bow. Time can tell. The part of me that won't let go is holding to the seeds you sow. Your spirit lingers in the air, like incense rising in a prayer.
Are you missing something in your Christian walk? Even if you're not a Christian, you're missing something. You know there's a God, you believe in a God, but the things that you believe seem to be ineffective. They're more wishful thinking.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
God wants to personally talk and share with you. He's a wonderful creator and God. And maybe what's locking you up and defeating you is the doctrines of men. Do you feel that heaven is shut up? Can't you hear from heaven? Do you feel you're missing out in what heaven has to offer? You're not connecting. Well, maybe all you believe and think about are the doctrines of men, but not the doctrines of Jesus himself, not what he taught. Your Christian walk seems to be without benefit, and heaven seems to be closed off or someday, somewhere, somehow. Listen to our preacher today. A powerful speaker and teacher is going to take an aspect that you may be missing in your life. So listen intently. Here he is, the late Norvell Hayes.
He'd begin to work with them, and the Holy Spirit would drive out all the affliction disease. I don't care what it is, but it does not work automatically. It works for those that believes it. But now, if you're going to have your own denominational concept of God or your own ideas about God, always remember, you cannot get God to work for you supernaturally by having your own ideas. You're going to have to get the same ideas that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John teaches.
You have to stick to the Word of God. If you want the Holy Spirit to do anything for you, you're going to have to stick to the Word of God. Some people think, well, I go to church and I'm a church member and the Lord blesses me. The Lord loves me. Honey, you can go to church today and help them sing Amazing Grace and lift your hands to God, and He will bless you because He loves you. The Lord loves you. Even if you believe half of the book of Matthew, He loves you. Get that straight. The Lord loves you even while you're squirrely. Even if you don't have the mind of Christ in you, He still loves you. Which most people don't, you know. I didn't figure that would go over. It never does anywhere. But they don't. Everybody on earth that has the mind of Christ always gets victory for everything. Does that cut you out? Or does that bring you in? In those areas of your life that you're not having victory in, you don't have the mind of Christ in that area. You're looking at that part of the Bible on your own with your own natural mind, and it don't work that way. Forget that. It won't work that way. You have to have the mind of Christ, my brother and sister. You can't even believe the book of Matthew unless you have the mind of Christ. You have to have the mind of Christ. How do you do that? You do it by simply reading the Bible, letting the Bible go through your eyes and go into your mind, go into your brain, and drop down into your spirit. That puts the mind of Christ in your mind. It lets you see through these eyes and drops down here where the kingdom of heaven is. The Holy Spirit lives within you, and He is the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is within you, within you. So I just begin to share the scriptures that the Lord told me. He said, son, most of my children do not know how to talk. They just, you'll have to teach them, just like their little babies, you'll have to teach them how to talk. They don't know how to talk. I said, oh, they don't know how to talk. He said, that's right, they don't know how to talk. They don't obey me. They talk whatever they want to talk and do whatever they want to do. And he says, it won't work that way. It just won't work that way. Any person dying with cancer or any kind of a deadly disease, I don't care what it is. He said, if they would begin to talk to that mountain and begin to tell that cancer who they are in me, begin to confess who I am to them, and begin to talk to that cancer and tell it, you can't kill me, cancer. Cancer, you can't kill me. I belong to God. Cancer, you don't even supposed to be in my body. I mean, you're a total invader. My body has the Holy Spirit in it, and I belong to God. My body belongs to God. Cancer, what are you doing in my body? You are an invader. In Jesus' name, I break your power, and I curse you in Jesus' name, and I command you, get out of my body. My body belongs to God. And start resisting that thing and begin to talk to it. Jesus said, now I want you to use the scripture, son. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. He said, if they want everything cast into the sea, you have to say something to the mountain. I said, Lord, what mountain? He says, any mountain, poverty mountain. Begin to say, talk to it and break the power of the devil over your finances and claim financial wealth for yourself and you'll get it. Health-wise, begin to talk to that disease. Talk to it. And he reminded me, oh, he said, son, did you ever hear one of my children hold a conversation with the flu? I said, no. Did you ever hear one of my children hold a conversation with a cancer? I said, no. Did you ever hear one of my children hold a conversation with a bad kidney and talk to it and tell it what it means, what they mean? I said, no. He said, I told you, you're going to have to teach them how to talk. They don't know how to talk. They don't talk victory talk. They don't talk heaven talk. They just kind of talk and wait and see and try to believe the best they can. And but he said, I had to train my disciples the same way. Matt, listen closely. You say, well, I don't know if I'm like that or not. Well, I got news for you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Peter, and all the rest of the disciples, They were like that. All of them. Jesus had to rebuke them. Jesus had to really get after them because they didn't believe correctly and didn't talk correctly. This woman that I ministered to that was dying with cancer, they cut her open twice and she's totally eaten up with cancer. I got her to obey these scriptures 5 months. And all the cancer disappeared when she was just about dead. And it's impossible for her to be healed. And she went back and told 5 doctors, she said, she was in Los Angeles, California. She said, there was a man from Tennessee that came to L.A. that taught me how to talk. And I talked to that cancer in that mountain for months, and it totally disappeared. Every day when I talked to it, it would get weaker. I would feed my body, and I would feed that cancer the book of Matthew. I fed that cancer the book of Luke. I fed that cancer the book of John. And all of a sudden, the cancer got sick and began to disappear. Now, when you feed your body food, your body receives strength. When you feed your body food, it receives strength. If you feed the devil and if you feed cancer, wondering if God would do it for me, you feed that cancer doubt, you feed that cancer, well, maybe sometime. Well, you feed the cancer this kind of faith, I believe that God can do anything. Well, of course, you don't believe that anyway. That's totally a cop-out. If you ever hear a person say, well, I believe God can do anything, they don't hardly believe nothing. That is totally a cop-out. No, that's not. They say that, but they don't mean what they say. You can ask them some other questions, and they'll get mad at you. So, oh, well, I believe God can do anything. No, God will not accept nonchalant believing, and God will not accept nonchalant faith, and God will not accept general type faith when you're ashamed and don't know how and you're ignorant of zeroing in on a specific thing that you need from God. God will not accept general type faith. General type faith saying, well, I believe God can do anything, will not cause God to give you a new kidney. You have to say what you mean. You have not because you ask not. If you want a new kidney, you have to ask God for it. If you want to get rid of cancer, then you have to come against that thing and fight it in Jesus' name and believe that Jesus is the head of the church. If you will believe that and believe like he tells you to believe, you can receive anything you want from God. Real quick, get your Bibles, all of you at home, the millions of people at home, get your Bibles and turn to the 16th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. This is going across different parts of the world this morning. About 20 million homes. Well, there's no telling how many million people that's listening. And you'll find hundreds of them and thousands of you are dying of the disease and you can't get rid of it, but you can get rid of it. I am telling you boldly, you can get rid of all of it completely. And God's power will restore you completely to health. I'm telling you that he will. Jesus is not a phony, and he's not a flake. There's power in his name to give you anything you want from heaven. Your victory comes from heaven, my brother and sister. It comes from heaven. That's where it comes from. Heaven. This world came from heaven. This world was created from heaven. Victory comes from heaven. Now listen closely. In the 16th chapter, you'll never be the same again. I guarantee you'll never be the same again. I brought this message and have God come in like a whirlwind and start healing cripples. Just get up, jump out of the wheelchair and run off when I would bring this message. It wouldn't surprise me anything would happen to you because you're sitting here. You're at the right place at the right time. God's power can surge through your body like the wind. And you just sit there and listen real close because everybody say, Jesus is truthful. He knows how to do everything. Now listen closely, 16th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather today, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Jesus said, O you hypocrites, You can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, Jesus said, but there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Look up here at me now. Well, I want this, and I want God to show me this. I want God, he's not obligated to show you anything. God, my brother and sister, is the Bible to you today. You're living under a new covenant. You're living under the dispensation of God's grace and God's mercy and faith. You're living in a faith world where God is concerned. You're living under the dispensation of faith, grace, and mercy. Thank God for grace and mercy. If it wasn't for God's mercy and grace, half of us wouldn't even be here. But you're living under the dispensation of faith. Anything God says, you can claim it by faith, and God will give it to you. You have to claim it by faith. And they're seeking after a sign. Well, show us a sign. No. And if you're seeking a sign, I got news for you. Your sign, your true sign is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why don't you read it and learn it? Why don't you burn the midnight oil like you did in senior high school class and learn everything in there that belongs to you and then take a hold of it? That's all a sign you're ever going to get is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Unless you know what's in there, you've had it. You'll be suffering next time I see you. I am warning you. Don't doubt God. Verse 5. And when Jesus got through talking to the people like this, he just turned and left. Bottom of verse 4. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples, remember what I told you about his disciples? When his disciples, all of them was there with him. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. All right, now listen to me in verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. All right, now listen closely, verse 7. And they reasoned the disciples, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have taken no bread. What does that mean? Well, that's why they're saying, that's why Jesus is talking to us like he is, and he's upset at us, because it's because that we brought no bread with us. How dumb can you get? You have to stay up at night to get that dumb. You have to enroll in Dumbsville School. And all the disciples just got that dumb. All of them. Peter, James, Matthew, John, all of them. Now, I know that I am not the most intelligent person in the world. I understand that part. But I am not sure that I am this dumb. I know quite a few Christians are. But I'm not sure that I am quite this dumb. After being with Jesus on top of the mountain and watching him feed 5,000 people from two or three little loaves of bread, and then right after that, you get upset because you didn't bring any bread. They act like he's quit making it. That's a typical thing of the church in America. He'll do you the same way he did me when I struggled for 5 years of trying to believe God to remove those 42 growths off of my daughter's body. And he told me then how to believe. He said, you're not believing right. And I'm full gospel, and I was doing this and praying. He said, you're not believing right. He said, curse those things in my name and believe me, son, and do not doubt, and they'll disappear. And for 40 days and 40 nights, I believed him. I cursed him in Jesus' name. I believed him 40 days and 40 nights. I walked through my house and said, you can't stay on my daughter's body. Girls, you're an invader into my house. You ugly looking knots on my daughter's body. You're not supposed to be on there. You're a total invader. My name is Norval Hayes and I own this house. You dummy, what are you doing on my daughter's body? You have no right to be on Zona's body. You're a thief and you're crazy. You can't stay on her body. She belongs to me and I own this house and I own this property and you're not going to stay on my daughter's body. And I kept on. Just that wild. You have to get wild. And I mean, I did it for 40 days and 40 nights. And all of a sudden, one afternoon, she came in from school, hanging up dresses, and all of a sudden, like a whirlwind, just all of a sudden, just whoosh, passed over her body, and it melted all the growths off of her, every one of them, that quick. Not only melted them off of her, it created and gave her a brand new skin all over her. Now you understand why I'm so wild? Well, you let God come in your house. You have a deformed child. And I feel sorry for you parents that has deformed children and has a child with knots and growths all over it and things like that. And you can't get it, you disappear. You have somebody like that, and all of a sudden you believe God, and you believe God, make up your mind to believe God, get my natural mind quiet, believe God, and all of a sudden God comes in just whoosh, and makes that deformed child normal. Right in your own house at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It will deliver you from your squirrely mind. Totally deliver you. It'll let you know that Jesus is the head of the church and he'll do anything for you. Now I want you to look here at verse 8. Which when, and believe me, Jesus knows why you're not receiving. Jesus knows how you are believing. And if you're not believing correctly and scripturally, God don't like it because he can't help you. And he loves you so much, he wants to help you. He wanted to come to my house and give me a brand new body for my daughter and remove all those growths off of her. But he couldn't because my prayers wasn't right. My faith didn't please him. I thought it was good myself. Sometimes things that you think are so good, in the eyes of God, they're not so hot. The disciples thought they were, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Peter, and all of them. They thought, well, we're disciples of the Lord. And they thought their faith was pretty good too. Let's see what Jesus thinks about it in verse 8. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O you of little faith. Now he's talking to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. O you of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember? Matthew, have you lost your memory? Well, if you think I've been rough for the past 5 or 10 minutes, you let Jesus work you over and you'll find out who's rough. How would you like it if I walked around every one of you and I stuck my finger in your face and said, have you lost your memory? Neither remember? The 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? They even took the baskets up after they saw it. Neither the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How Jesus said to his disciples, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? And I'm warning you the same way. Beware of the doctrines of men. Beware of the doctrines of men. Beware of allowing your mind and your faith to wonder if God will do it for you or not. Yes, he'll do it for you. But you'll have to let him be himself. Get that image you got in your mind about Jesus. Get it out of you. Get it out of you. Get it out of you. Get delivered from yourself. Get it out of you. And get your image that Jesus is the head of the church and he is total victory. Learn who he is. Learn yourself. The most important thing in the world to you for you to learn who Jesus is. You yourself learn who he is. Verse 12. Then understood they. Thank God for that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's okay now. But they were kind of squirrely there for a few minutes. Then understood they how that he bid them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine. Jesus wants me to beware of doctrines of men. See, but beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now listen closely. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto his disciples, he just looked them all in the face and said, "Well, who do you say I am?" Look up here at me. If you need something today, why don't you say who Jesus is? He's the answer to that, you know. He's not something else. He's the answer to that. He is the answer to that. What? "But Brother Norville, you don't know my case." But God knows it. I don't have to know it. I don't have the power. God has the power. Jesus knows it. He is the answer to your problem. He said, who do you say I am, John? Matthew, who do you say I am? Luke, open up your mouth. Tell me, who do you say I am? Nobody didn't say a word except Peter. Verse 16 says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus was so pleased. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Oh, "and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." What does that mean? Well, if you get born again by the Spirit of God, and you belong to God's church, and you're going to be upstanding, all God gives you, when you come down and join His church and say, "I belong to the church, and I accept Jesus by faith," God hands you a set of keys. God pitches you a Bible. Jesus pitches you a set of keys. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven," says right there. You got it right in your hand. You have a key that says healing. Oh, there's hundreds of keys on there. You have one that says patience. You have a key on your key that says miracles. All you have to do is take the key. What does that mean? In the Word of God. Look it up. Say to the Bible to show yourself approved. Find it. It's all in there, my brother and sister. Find the Jesus of the New Testament. Find Him yourself. Find Him yourself. Accept Him as the Jesus of the New Testament and not some squirrely version you have of Him. Find Him as a victory God. Find Him in your own mind and in your own spirit as total victory. When you find the Scripture to cover your case, then you take your faith and you stick in to the third chapter of the book of Luke. And you twist it. Always remember, because you stick a key in the lock, it don't work. You have to twist it and pull. That's called action. Verse 19 says, "And I will give unto thee the keys," plural, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." It's up to you, my brother and sister. It's not up to somebody else. It's up to you. It's up to you. Glory to God forevermore.
Oh, once my soul was astray from that heavenly way. I was wretched and vile as could be. Oh, but my Savior,
glory to God.
Praise God. So here he is, my Christian brother, Steve Bergen.